All right, there's where you text in your questions about dudes. Get ready for a thrashing. Anyway, so guys have a tendency to be known to have a little bit more spunk to them, a little bit more of an adventurous side. So as I mentioned before, my nephews, the first thing they did once they learned to walk was they started turning things into guns and swords. As it turns out, my niece doesn't do that. She wants to play with dolls. And they're all under the age of 5, and they've already figured this out. So, like with me, what we did when I was young is we lived on a big, steep road. So we started riding our bikes down the hill, and we'd jump off of curbs, and we thought we'd take that to the next level. So we decided to make a little go-kart one summer, and we just got some boards and put some big wheels on it. And we would just push each other as fast as we could, and we had some like rope things on it that supposedly would control it, but it didn't. So luckily I wasn't the one to test drive this thing the first time. That was my friend David. He got on this thing, we ran, pushed him as fast as he could. He got going, the road curved, he didn't, hit the curb, turns over the curb, dragged underneath the board, goes to the next school, and half of his face is missing, and he's been a hideous monster ever since then. It's disgusting. Oh, well, that last part wasn't true. But we would come up with these terrible ideas, and we would do them. People would constantly get hurt. It didn't stop when I got older. I got a job at a Chick-fil-A. I was actually a manager at a Chick-fil-A, which means I could get away with stupid stuff and do stupid stuff. And so what we started doing is we'd have these boxing matches like you had back there in the dining room. And since I have no discretion at all, I decided to box one of my coworkers who weighed about 300 pounds. And I could outmove him, but he had a little bit more weight behind his punch since he weighed twice as much as me. And so I was getting in some good shots, and he'd do this, and I'd dodge it, and a couple good shots. And then one time he actually landed one of these deals on me, and my head kept twisting and twisting until my back went. And I went, maybe I should pause for a second, but I didn't. I kept going because I'm a real man. I'm not a pansy. And so this didn't stop when I hit my 20s, and then it escalated. My mom had 5 acres of land, plenty of room to play with fire. And so we'd play with fire at any occasion we got. For example, I'm filming.
Is that a stick or something?
Yes, he had a stick and he put a cloth on it, doused it in gasoline, torched it, and threw it at my face. My friend, his brother was at brother and sister were at captain's camp. That was exciting. That was a fun day. This was actually right after the time he filled the bucket of gasoline, shot it with the Roman candle so it was on fire, and chopped it with an axe so gasoline poured all over my mother's lawn and burned her house down. His way to follow that up was to throw the fireball at my face, which was awesome. So that's what we did. Another time we snuck into this place with some cliffs in the middle of Austin and jumped into a water quarry when it was pitch black and we didn't know what was beneath us. That was probably a bad idea. Those are the sorts of things, stupid things, that guys just come up with to do. We have this adventurous spirit in us, this thing that makes us kind of do crazy stuff. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's kind of the way we're wired. But another idea, kind of taking this in a different direction, another question is, when exactly do you become men? Because culture says, well, you're a man when you can grow a beard, which would never be for me because I can't grow a beard and probably die not a man because I can't grow a beard. Some people say it's when you can buy a beer. So if you've got a beard and you can drink a beer and shoot a gun, if you can shoot a gun, then you're a man. Win a fight, those are good standards for if you're a man. Some people are just... The definition and the timing of it, it's just so vague. Nobody knows when you actually become a man. And which is interesting because in cultures of past, it was real clear it's age 13. And this whole idea of being a teenager did not exist until about 100 years ago. So you think, well, adolescence, teenage period, like we just think there has to be this time period where you're considered a teenager, but that's not true. That's actually very new in the history of the world. And it came about simply because of the school system, so this idea of adolescence came about. And we have this idea that, well, you hit 13, all of a sudden you're entitled to a cell phone, and you have to have a laptop, and you have to have all this stuff, and you get a car when you're 16, and you have freedom. But you don't have any of the responsibility that goes along with being an adult. You just kind of expect to have a bunch of money. And that's the way a lot of times our culture acts. Well, yeah, you go crazy during your teenage years and you start to calm down around college. Well, no, you don't calm around college. You get even crazier at college, but you're free away from home. And then eventually you calm down when you get married. So often that's the way we talk about things. And a lot of youth groups are kind of like set up that way. It's just kind of like silly lessons on how not to do really stupid stuff. And you play a lot of video games. I went to a church one time that they had bought one of these big inflatable mazes, and you showed up, and they had an hour of playing in the maze. They had an hour, and there was video game room, there was footballs being thrown around the room, and that was an hour of it, and then it was like a concert for the band, and then the guy came out and talked for 15 minutes, and that was youth group. It was like, the timings on the amount of time you're talking about playing, this doesn't seem to add up in my mind. Something's not quite right here. A lot of people think that's the way you do youth group. Well, you just keep them having fun, and that's the way you do it. So our starting assumption as we talk about men is that you guys need to start acting like men and reject the idea of being a teenager. So wherever you are, if you're in this class right now, my mind is that you're expected to act like a man, not like a crazy wild teenager that just kind of does stupid stuff all the time. That's not the way it works. There's actually handouts if you can pass those around. That's kind of the way we view it. That's why we have captain's camp. We set things up and we say, all right, we want you to take responsibility, be in charge of teams, go out and spread the gospel. We expect you to start taking roles like that. That's why we do leadership training. That's why on Sunday mornings, we don't really have much of a high school class. We started to phase it out a couple months ago. And it's because we want you guys serving, because we think that that's what men do. That's what adults do. They serve. This whole idea of the teenager, we're just not so into that idea. So why am I giving a talk on being a man during a dating series? Well, you got to start acting like men, otherwise you're going to get married and you're going to expect your wife to be your mother. And I'm not joking, lots of guys get married and they expect their wife to be their mother. And girls, most guys out there are losers and they're little boys and they never grow up and they're perverts and they're addicted to all sorts of bad stuff. And you'll marry them and they'll still be obsessed with other girls. And that's why we're doing this talk. So you can avoid the losers, avoid the cowards, avoid the chauvinists, and figure out what does a godly man look like. Because culture's not doing a real good job of explaining it. So one of the starting things you need to understand is every man needs a compelling vision. And this is what it says in Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, people are unrestrained, but happy is one who keeps the law. So I did some research, and it said that men commit 90% of major crimes, commit 95% of burglaries, men commit 91% of offenses against the family, and men compromise 94% of drunk drivers. On every single one of those, men are 9 out of 10 of the offenses. Why is that? You got that adventurous spirit, you want to go do something exciting, and it ends up going funneled into all the wrong things because we don't tell guys what they're supposed to be. It's just, okay, you got to adventure some spirit. Well, what do the movies say? What's exciting? What at the moment is going to get me going? And if you don't have any vision for what masculinity is or how to channel that, all of a sudden people are doing ridiculous stuff. And so in our culture, that men kind of come in different forms. There's kind of the suppressed man, the guy that culture says, well, you can't be like a man. Men are supposed to, you know, not be like that. You don't want them to have that adventurous spirit. So you've got like the metrosexuals. Those are the fun guys. Kind of a handbag, European handbag, nicely done nails. When I went off to Bible college, you do real stupid things when you're meeting people. So one of the things I did in my first 3 weeks at Bible college is a group of us decided to go get our toes done. Whoa, too far, too far. We decided to go get our toes done.
What do you mean your toes?
We got pedicures. A bunch of guys, Bible college guys, got our pedicures, and they painted our nails as well. So yeah, that was fun. And so we did that as a joke. That wasn't like serious. We're like, man, I just can't wait to get my toes done with French tips. not quite where we were going with that. And as we're there, there actually are guys coming in and like getting their hands done and stuff like that, and getting their nails done. I'm like, this is weird. We thought this was a big joke, but there's actually guys in here getting French tips on and little, it was creepy and weird. But so that whole idea of the metrosexual, where guys act a little bit more like girls, they're kind of prettier and nicer, and something's not quite right there. A lot of churches, they just kind of want the dudes to act a little bit like girls. You see churches where all the guys are wearing bright colored shirts and they're singing emotional songs. The music's all a little bit emotional. I mean, that's where I was talking with the guys the first time we got together. Was like, guys, we're going to be loud and obnoxious because I do not want to at all like attract that particular group of people. And I'm serious. That's what I told them the first time we had band practice. I was like, dudes, we're not going to do that. Yeah. It's going to be intense. And that's why it's intense. I mean, a lot of churches, I mean, it really is. They're heavily dominated. Girls are the main people kind of in a lot of the leadership roles, kind of with creative control. And so you go to the church and they've got interpretive dancers and the guys show up and they go, I'm not so sure about this. And they ask them to serve and it's like, here, hand out bulletins and mow the lawn. And they're like, this is kind of lame. I don't think I'm all of that excited about passing out bulletins and mowing the lawn. I'm looking for something really compelling and something exciting, and this isn't it. So guys, check out. Most churches are 60% girls, 40% guys. Some churches, it's even worse. A group like ours actually dissuades the average. When we were at Captain's Camp, we're sitting there. This youth group walks by, and I'm not joking, it was 15 girls and two guys. And I'm like, that must be awful for those two guys, it's maybe great because it's like really good odds. But I mean, like, besides that, I mean, if they're like some guy that's not interested in girls just yet, man, that's got to be awful, because whatever's causing no guys to want to go to that thing, it must be terrible. But so many, they're just set up in such a way that lots of girls show up and all the guys show up and like, okay, I'm not so sure about this. And there is a very deliberate effort on my part to do things that are very masculine and dangerous, like smashing things and punching people. That's why I was excited when we got a bloody nose tonight. And so, sorry ladies, if it comes off like I'm not catering to you, but I'm not. Deliberately. And so you got churches that are kind of not quite right. Then you just have guys that are cowards, losers. I mean, there's this whole idea of guys that grow up and they keep moving back in with their moms. I did this actually for a while. They just keep moving back in with their mom, keep getting their mom to take care of them, cook them dinner, do their laundry, and it just stays like this forever and ever, and they're into their late 20s living with mom. Mom's taking care of them. Mom's paying the bills. Mom's giving them a gas card. And is that the guy you want? The guy that's going to, you know, treat you like they're your mom? The answer is no. And there's so many guys out there that are like that. And they just don't step up to the plate. They're a little bit clueless. They don't know what's going on. And so they just kind of tinker around. And they want mommy to take care of them. And then they want you to take care of them. Then there's the flip side. So those are kind of these guys that are just very suppressed masculinity. Then there's the flip side, and there's the macho guys. So the definition of, you can drink more than everybody else, you can punch harder, you can fart the stinkiest. I mean, it's just like you got the hairiest chest, so you're the most macho man. I mean, it's just this idea that's ridiculous. I tracked down this picture because I was driving down a 79 one day, was at a stoplight, and I saw a guy wearing one of these, and he had a helmet on. So it was like you looked over and you're like, what is that? It's a guy with a bandana wrapped around his mouth with sunglasses to act like his eyes and a helmet on. It was like, what a ridiculous human being. He's out in the middle of the day driving down the road like this. Who's he trying to impress? And we're like, ooh, macho man, got to play dress up. Give me a break. Halloween costumes in the middle of the day? What are you thinking? And so what do you have? You have these guys that are just trying to be macho, trying to show everybody how tough they are, and they do this crap. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And there's so many guys like that. Guys driving around on motorcycles, wearing these ridiculous macho shirts. Guys standing around cars like they know what they're talking about. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. And you really, guys, get together. We're talking about engine. I don't know anything about cars. But somebody asked me about, yeah, I go change out my transmitter and I don't know what, you know, the transmitter in your car. Yeah, wrong term. I know a lot about cars. I can't even come up with one name of one part. Transmission, there we go. Yeah, I've got to fix my transmission. What do you think I should do? Yeah, definitely, dude. And I just fake like I know what I'm talking about, and I just make an idiot of myself because I want to act like I'm a macho man, too. And that's also, so another side of the macho is the sexual conquerors. Well, I've slept with more girls than everybody else. Not me, that wasn't a quote, me talking, that was me quoting someone else. That'd be like, Jennifer's like, it's confession, and she beats me up afterwards, which she'll probably do anyway. But so, I mean, like, literally, there's this idea that the more girls you've slept with, the more macho you are, or the bit more masculine you are. You can get lots of ladies, and you must be a real man. That's like the basis of the James Bond movies. He's real good at killing people, and he's real good at sleeping with lots of women. He can get any woman he wants. He must be a real man. That's the way they act. I found a study, an article, talked about a school in California where a bunch of the guys in the high school came up with this sex game where they had a scoring system to see who could have sex with the most girls in the most interesting ways in the most interesting places, and you got different points based off of what you did, where you did it, and who you did it with. And eventually they got caught, and it was all a big news story, like, what are these sick perverts doing? This is in our school. They're sexual predators just manipulating girls, and they don't care about them, and they're using them. And they went and interviewed their dads. This is what their dad said. Boys will be boys. Wow. That's a good lesson from dad. Boys will be boys. I mean, their sons are literally sexual predators trying to take advantage of every girl in the school and literally just trying to use them to win a bet. And their dad said, boys will be boys. What can I do? Yeah, those dads are losers. And I'm not joking. They're complete and total losers, and that's the majority of dads out there are like that. They're checked out. They bring home a check, sit on the couch, and don't do a whole lot else. So another thing on sexual conquerors, like I've had friends that when they were in college, when they didn't have a girlfriend, everybody assumed they were gay. Well, you don't have a girlfriend? Oh, you're gay. Okay, that's okay. I'm cool with that. Like, no, I'm not gay. I just don't have a girlfriend right now. Oh, right. Gotcha. I believe you. You're right. Wink, wink. I got you. Catch your drift here. No. I'm serious. I just don't have a girlfriend right now. Yeah. Okay. And that's the way it worked. I mean, the guys, his coworkers just assumed he was gay because he didn't have a girlfriend. Where's this come from? Because there's no vision of masculinity. No idea what it actually looks like. So the first thing on our point, the first thing of what does a real man do? A real man rejects passivity. Rejects passivity. Like I said, guys just have that natural inclination that we want to get active. We want to go do something. There's a show called 24 with this guy named Jack Bauer. And the reason everybody likes Jack Bauer is because he's completely not passive. When there's a problem, he steps up to the plate and he solves it. It's not, oh, there's a nuclear bomb. Shucks, I'll go home. I better get out of town. I don't want to die. That's not what he does. He says, all right, I'm going to kill a lot of terrorists, torture about half of them, and I'm going to stop this thing. And we all enjoy watching him torture terrorists. I just love torture myself. What did I just say? But so he steps up to the plate. He's not passive, and that's why we like him. Action movies are based around the idea that guys step up to the plate, they aren't passive, and they take on conflicts head on. If there was an action movie where the guy just went, oh man, there's a problem, this is quite unfortunate. Oh well. Credits roll. I mean, that would be a really bad action movie that I don't think anyone would go see. We enjoy them because people step up to the plate. They reject passivity. So we talk about those dads who aren't involved. They're being passive. They come home and, well, I've worked a hard day. I did my part, and then they just watch TV. I don't recall my dad ever having too many sit-downs with me where he goes, you know, this is what it means to be a man. Or sitting down and incurring any wisdom to me. training me, anything about life. No, not really. Oh, he did teach me when I was in the third grade how to bar fight, but he was drunk at the time, so his advice wasn't really the best, since it involved getting down on your knees and slapping guys on the side of the head. And he goes, when you're in a bar fight, you have to convince them to get on their knees too, so that you can actually hit them on the head. I'm like, Dad, if you've been getting in bar fights like this, this is not going to go well. Because the last bar fight he got in when he was 53, he lost that one pretty bad and tried to take me to track the guys down. And if he expected me to get on my knees and start slapping people, that was not going to happen. But besides boxing or slapping lessons, he just didn't. He was passive when it came to the house. He was interested in himself. He liked playing golf. He'd take vacations on his own. He didn't go on vacation with us. He just wanted to do his own thing. He was passive in regards to the family. He was so checked out of our lives, he didn't even go to my brother's wedding. He was retired. He was just at home all day long. Had plenty of money. He just didn't go. That's how passive he was and how much he ignored his family. So where does this come from? Where does this start? Well, it started back with Adam. So what happened in the garden? They have one tree they're not supposed to eat from. God tells Adam, don't eat from this tree. This isn't the one you're supposed to not eat from. You got the whole earth. Don't eat from this one tree. Go everywhere else except right here. What happens? Serpent says, hey, we got some nice fruit, Eve. Why don't you eat this deal? This is what happens. Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that there was good, tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that there was so to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate. So a lot of times we imagine this story, Adam's off in the field hunting, he's off doing something, and he comes back, and he's like, oh no, Eve! You weren't supposed to eat from that tree. And then he's tricked into eating it, and he eats it, and he goes, oh no, what have I done? I have made a mistake. I have not been a good servant of this land that God has given me. No. That's not what happens. It says, husband who was there with her. He's standing there, and she's talking with the snake. And she goes, hey, Adam, why don't you eat this apple or fruit? And he goes, okay. Arr, 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 arr. That's his eating sound. Arr, 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 arr. Good. And he just eats it. She goes, here, eat this. He just eats it. Completely passive in the whole thing. He's not even involved in the conversation. There's a snake talking on the ground. If I see a snake talking, I'm going to talk back to it or kill it because it's a demon. But if it starts talking, I think I would be involved in what's going on there. Adams, checked out, completely ignoring the entire situation as the snake is talking and then just obeys his wife when she goes like this. Okay. Yummy. That's Adam, completely passive. Let's compare that with Jesus. I mean, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus kind of steps up to the plate and doesn't put up with a whole lot of crap from anybody, whether it's with his words or his actions. So on one particular occasion, he goes to the temple. This is what it says in John chapter 2. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple area. So a lot of times we think of Jesus as passive and peaceful, and the people say, well, he's just a guy, a loving guy, a sweet teacher, just a real nice guy. He wouldn't be mean to people. And people say that, you know, the God of the Old Testament is this God of wrath. And the God of the New Testament, he's just a God of love and forgiveness. Well, what does Jesus do when he sees a problem? He steps outside, grabs a whip, runs in and starts whipping people. Like, whoosha, get out of here. And he starts whipping them, so they run away from him because they're scared of the crazy man with the whip beating people in the temple. That's what Jesus did. Jesus wasn't passive. He didn't kind of go, oh, there's a problem. Aw, shucks, maybe they'll correct it in the future. He's not like Adam. Aw, man, God's temple's being defiled. I wish this was not the case. Too bad. No, no, that's not what goes down. Jesus makes a whip and runs in, swinging it around and screaming enough that people are driven away from him. A whole mob of people. So the whole place is filled with people. There's a guy with cattle, a guy with sheep, a guy with doves, people exchanging money. So we're talking about at least five people. Jesus runs in and takes all of them on at once. Jesus takes on five dudes and they run away from him. Does that sound like a passive dude? Probably not. So, what does this have to do with you guys? Here's the test. I guess these are phrased for you ladies. Does he stand up for others? Does he stand up for what is right? Is he a leader? So the idea is, if you guys, if you're the guy that sits there when everybody's bad-mouthing someone else, you're being passive. You're being like Adam. This is wrong, I know, oh well. What you're supposed to do is say, nope, we're not going to do this. We're going to end this right now. We're not going to gossip about people. We're not going to talk bad about them. When you see someone being picked on, are you the guy that goes, too bad? Or do you step up to the plate and do something about it? That's the thing, is that most of us want to be the guy that stands up for others, but we're not that guy. Not taking questions right now. We're not gonna talk about Gandhi right now. If you have a question about Gandhi, you can text it in. No more questions, Joey. But so are you the guy that steps up to the plate, or are you the guy that's passive? And there's a bunch of different ways that goes down. We're in a world filled with battles to fight because people are so perverted and evil. So it's pretty easy to find places to not be passive and step up to the plate and be active in pursuing what's right. Next one on here. What does a real man do? He accepts responsibility. And we have a problem in our country. There are 50% of the marriages end in divorce. Why? Because people aren't taking responsibility for the mistakes they make. Or they get married and they don't want to take responsibility for their marriage. There's 1.21 million abortions in this country every year. That was the number of 2005. It's probably more now. What happens? I got a girl pregnant. I didn't want to take responsibility, so I pay for her to get an abortion. Well, bravo. Way to take responsibility. You're willing to pay for it. Man, you're a real man. Wrong. Wow. Kill your own child because you don't want to take responsibility. That's a real winner right there. I mean, if you find a guy that does that, wow. When the president got caught in adultery about 10 years ago, he tries to play word games to get out of it. He doesn't say, yeah, I messed up. I'm sorry, I'm going to try and fix this. He plays word games over a series of months, literally lies to the American people to try and get out of being in trouble for what he did. Wow, bravo, great example for our country. I mean, we have a whole generation of guys with this whole Peter Pan complex. They want to be a Toys R Us kid their whole life. They don't want to grow up. Just, yeah, I mean, I'll play video games. I'll live at home with my mommy. I'll get a TiVo, watch lots of TV, and work at Best Buy, and, you know, I'll kind of pay the bills. And I mean, like, I know people my age that just kind of haven't ever done anything. I haven't had any particular goal, and so they just kind of fiddle along and doodle along, and they're literally working at places I was working when I was 18 years old. Because they just want to have a responsibility-less life. They just want other people to take care of them and have enough money to buy their video games and get a sound system for their car, and get a nice stereo, get a Blu-ray player so they can watch TV and movies. And that's all they do. I mean, there's a movie that came out a couple years back called Failure to Launch. Matthew McConaughey, and he's like in his mid-30s, and he still lives with his parents, working a dumb, dumb job. And the reason it was funny is because there's so many people out there like that. So many guys that are complete losers living at home with their mommies, being taken care of, not growing up. I mean, that's the world we live in. There was guys at Bible college looking to be in ministry, looking to be pastors, failing their classes because they were playing World of Warcraft. Wow. I wish I had a pastor at my church who flunked out of Bible college because he was playing World of Warcraft. Man, that's a real man right there. He's a level 55 wizard. He could totally kill my guy. I mean, what a joke. And these people are at Bible college. And, I mean, of all places, you'd think they would take that seriously. What happens in the garden? So, all this goes back to Adam. So Adam does the wrong thing. He eats the fruit. God shows up, and God starts asking questions. You guys been up to no good? Adam, just goofing off. And this is what goes down. This is what he says. The responsible man that he is. The man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." So what does he do? He says, "God, you gave me this woman. And then the woman gave me the fruit. How was I supposed to know not to eat the fruit? You gave her to me, and she gave it to me, and I ate it. Well, I don't know what I did wrong." I mean, like, that's a real man right there, taking responsibility. He blames God, and he blames his wife, and he doesn't go, "Wait, I knew I wasn't supposed to eat this, and I did anyway." He blames everybody except himself. Well, he doesn't blame the snake, I guess, so he blames God, which is always, always, always a bad plan. Just telling you right now, this is never a good option. And then he blames it on his wife. Also another bad option when you make a stupid choice. Well, what does Jesus do? How is Jesus different? Well, I mean, his entire ministry on this earth was an example of him saying, "You know what? I didn't sin. Those people sinned that we created, sinned against me, hurt me. You know what? I'm going to take responsibility for their sin. I didn't do it, but I'm going to take responsibility." So he comes down to earth, dies for you and me, takes responsibility off of us, and puts it on himself. What an extreme example of taking responsibility. I mean, he's sitting there in the garden the night before, and he said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he still says, "Your will be done." He didn't sin. He didn't want to die on the cross, but he was willing to take up our responsibility. He would pay our price. I mean, that's what real men do. They see problems, and they might not have caused it, but they'll step up to the plate to fix it. And that's what men are supposed to do. So what's the test? Does he admit when he's done something wrong? A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people, it's always somebody else's fault. There's always some excuse. There's always some situation that made it okay for what you did. So can he admit when he's wrong? Does he try to dodge his responsibilities? So he's got a stupid job where he doesn't have to grow up and doesn't have any responsibility and has lots of free time so he can play World of Warcraft and make it to a higher level. What responsibilities does he have? When things get tough, does he check out? So a real man rejects passivity, takes responsibility. Times get tough, he steps up to the plate to fix things. He doesn't check out to get out of the tough stuff. So next one on here. Real man leads courageously. Leads courageously. Now, I was actually like quite impressed with a lot of you guys. We did a captain's camp a week ago. We had seven guys sign up. And another one that couldn't go. So 8 guys out of a total of 11. So way over national averages of guys stepping up to the plate. I mean, just ridiculous percentages. And that's you guys doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, leading. And the other half is leading courageously. But we got a generation of families that are ending in divorce. Why? Because guys aren't stepping up to the plate. They're not leading their families. They come home, they watch TV. They're passive. They're not being the guide for their family. What happens? It ends in divorce. I read a statistic. It says this. Teens appear to be closer with their mothers than their fathers, with 57% of U.S. teens indicating that they're emotionally close with their mothers, compared to 39% of teens indicating that they're emotionally close with their fathers. So, I mean, it's almost as many teens are close with their mothers as opposed to their fathers. Well, why? Because dad comes home and he checks out and he's not leading his family. He's not giving guidance to his sons. He's not giving guidance to his daughters. He's just bringing home the check, doing his part, and then watching TV. Maybe he mows the lawn, takes out the garbage once a week, and then he's completely passive and checked out. What happened in the garden? Adam's standing here once again. Eve's having the conversation with the snake, and he's going, what's going on? What's weird? Who? Takes no responsibility. He's not giving any guidance. He's not leading what happens. The snake is leading. Eve's going along with this stupid thing. And Adam, the idiot, is just kind of, oh, okay. All right. And he's just following the example of whoever's in front of him so that he can blame it on him when things go bad. He's not leading. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus comes to the earth. When he turns 30, he goes out and gets a bunch of followers, goes out, starts a movement, gets thousands of followers, so that literally thousands of people come to hear him teach. He starts a movement that after he dies continues to spread. So today on this earth, there's 2 billion people on the planet that claim to be followers of Jesus. And I wouldn't say they're all Christians, but they think they believe in follow Jesus. Well, that's a leader right there. If you can get that many followers, he's doing something right. That's what men do. They don't come home and just check out. They take responsibility. They reject passivity. And they're leading courageously. And that means doing things that are tough. Ephesians 5, 23 through 24 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." So, I mean, that sounds old-fashioned to say, well, husbands are supposed to be the head of the household. Well, look at what's going on in our country. Do we really think 50% divorce rate? Well, do we want to copy what's going on in the culture? If you look at abuse rates, do you go, wow, you know, we want to follow that example? Probably not. And like I said, if you read the passage, it doesn't say, and husbands be the dictator of your household and make your wife your slave so that she can do your every beck and call. And I'm not joking when I say I know a guy that when he does this, his wife goes to the refrigerator and gets him a drink. This is the hand motion. I picked it up and I trained Jennifer well, so it works with her too. It's a joke between us because we're sitting there at this people's house. He's playing video games like a real man. And she stands up, doesn't say anything, walks to the refrigerator, gets a drink, walks back, boo, brrr, puts it in his hand, boo, 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 brrr, and he continues playing. So trained is his wife that this simple hand motion gets him a drink. I mean, that's not leading your family. That's being a complete and total loser. He's playing video games, and his idea of like being a man is, I've got my wife helping me out. God says in Genesis 2, the wife is the helper, so she's helping me out by getting me a drink. Wrong. Not the way it's supposed to work. This is not the way you lead your family. And that's so often the way our culture works. But if you look at what it says, lead like Christ. Like Christ. How did Christ lead? He died on a cross. So if we follow his example and we're on the Titanic, that means we stay on the boat and we get our wives on the boat so we can die and they can be safe. I'm not joking. That's what real men do. Because we lead like Christ. And Christ would die for us. And, I mean, if you think chivalry's dead, this is not the right group for you to be in. Because that's the way we're going to do it. Test. Does he bow to peer pressure, trends, and what is popular? So if you're just kind of following whatever's popular, whatever's going on in the culture, you're not leading. You're following. Hence why you're following trends. See, do you see, catch the connection there? That's not a leader, that's a follower. That's a problem. You don't want to do that. You want to lead others towards godliness, not follow people to hell. Bad idea. Final one on here, as we get close to our end. Real men expect God's greater reward. This is what it says in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder of our perfection of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of those the throne of God. So what does Jesus do? He looks to the joy in front of him. He doesn't say, wow, getting beaten is a lot of fun, therefore I'm going to come to the earth and die a horrible death because I want to get beaten. No. He said, there's a joy in front of me. There's something greater, and that's what I'm living for. We live in a fast food culture. We want food right now. We want cell phone service right now. We need phones that are even more powerful, that have the internet, and so we can know stuff right away. I heard a comedian talking about he was on a plane, and they had just set it up so that the plane could have fast, high-speed internet service, and he gets on, and he had slow internet service, and he goes, well, this is crap. He's on a plane, and he's got high-speed internet, and he's complaining because the service was kind of slow. I mean, that's the culture we live in, where people just expect, they feel entitled to having fast service all the time. I mean, that's the world we live in, and there's something very, very wrong with it. I mean, Adam's failure is that he was just kind of going, whoa, that's a fruit, that sounds nice. I'll get to know some stuff. He just wanted the immediate pleasure. He's not thinking, God's got something better ahead of me. Said with Jesus, Jesus wasn't like a masochist that was like, man, I can't wait to get beaten. That sounds great. That'll be awesome. No, he's like, I don't want this. Let this cup pass me. But I'll do it if I have to because I want the joy that's set before me. I'm looking for what God's final plan is in the end. That's what you guys need to be looking at. And are you living for whatever's fun right now? Well, I'll play World of Warcraft, and it would be awesome if I play World of Warcraft. I'm awesome at this. Yeah, it would be great. Or is it all about whatever you can get right now? Well, you know, I know it's probably not a good idea and won't help me in marriage, but I just want to have sex with my girlfriend right now. Lots of them. There are lots of them. Well, it'll be fun right now. Is that what you're thinking? Or are you thinking what God's got to set before you? Something better. God's greater reward. So as we kind of come to the finished, I mean, with you guys, here's the way it's set up. Most important is that you're a Christian, and then when you're grown up and married, the second role is husband, next is father, and then employee, and kind of all the other stuff in your life, it's all kind of pretty far down the list after that. Just taking care of being a good Christian, being a father, being a husband, that takes a lot of time. Being employed takes a lot of time. And so if you're setting yourself up for life by being really great at video games, well, you're setting yourself up to be a complete and total awful husband and father. I mean, and I understand things like, I'm not saying that like playing sports is bad, but if playing sports is life and you spend all of your time obsessing over that, you can't do that when you get married. It's not going to happen. If it's all about watching TV, if you're like, man, I am so great at getting friends on MySpace, and I've got a lot of friends on Facebook, and I'm on there 8 hours a day, and it's great. Are you going to do that when you get married? Probably not. So a lot of these things, if that's what you're focusing in on, and all of your time is devoted to these temporal things that aren't setting you up for anything, you got to change some stuff, because someday, if 9 out of 10 of you are going to be married, and when you're married, most of the stuff you're doing right now isn't going to help you out. And I understand having stuff to relax and entertain yourself, but if that's what's controlling your time and all, you're spending hours and hours and hours playing video games. I mean, I was awesome at World of Warcraft, excuse me, Warcraft 2, not World of Warcraft, that's what's out now. Warcraft 2 is what was out 10 years ago. I was awesome, and I would have won a video game contest at Hill Country Bible Church Northwest, except Scott Butler cheated, re-entered the contest after he was supposed to be out, and so I lost. It was absolutely ridiculous that that happened. I got cheated severely. But is that what you as we kind of finish our last final thought, I mean, girls, do you want a guy that's good at video games to father your kids? Is that what you're looking for? I mean, is it like the most important man? He can bench 250 pounds. That's awesome. He's really good at throwing a ball through a hole. So, man, that's the guy I want to father my kids. He's had lots of girlfriends that he's slept with, so maybe he'll be really a great father to my kids and to my boys. He can give them some good advice like, boys will be boys. He's a sexual predator taking advantage of a bunch of daddy's little girls. Wow, what a winner. Is that what you want? Is that the guy you want? He knows lots of movie trivia. He knows everything about, he knows all sorts of factoids and stuff about TV shows and movies. Is that what you want? Or do you want a godly man that rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and is looking for the greater reward? Which one do you want? I'll pray and then we'll do some Q&A. I had a video, but we probably don't have time. Dear Lord, as we talk on this subject, I mean, help these guys to take it seriously, because this stuff isn't child's play. This is stuff some of the guys in this room aren't going to take it seriously. They're going to get married, they're going to get divorced, and they're going to screw up their kids. And it's because they didn't take this stuff seriously. Help them to be wise with what they do now, wise with what they do in college, and be wise when they get married. And help these ladies to take this stuff seriously so they don't marry a loser and a coward who's either the macho guy that might beat them in the future, or this macho guy that's just filled with anger, or he's just this passive guy that checks out when he comes home, brings home a check, sits and watches TV, and then that's it. I don't want that for them. And I don't want any of these guys to be that. In your name we pray. Amen.